Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
The top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. We're back. Fresh content. We know you've been hanging out. I mean, people would have just had no idea how to live their life with us away.
They look to us for guidance, morally.
I know we're on air from 5:30. Remember we were talking about penises at 6 o'clock this morning on the show?
We need to bring it back up again.
Well, we do. Thank you. Because I checked out, because I didn't have time, because the show keeps moving and moving. Nesbitt procedure. Remember when the doctor stuffed up? Do you know what it's used for? The Nesbitt procedure. I know you haven't asked, but I'm going to tell you. Is a type of penile straightening surgery.
Well, he said he had a bend in it, right?
He had more than a bend, because you can have a banana dick, but this is around the corners type.
Oh, it's like a right angle.
I've never had a banana dick.
It was like one of those connector joints.
No, you're not supposed to.
Have you ever had straight dick?
Oh, like as you know, I'm just saying. Had one popped off.
Straight in.
If you had a bend, and this is for any girls listening to the podcast, if you ever had a bloke with a real bent one, you go, mate, you're going to need that straightened up. You need to go to the panel shop. It is used to correct a curvature of the penis caused by Peyronie's disease.
Is that drinking too many Peyronie's?
Is it rooting a Peyronie bottle?
Suitable candidates for this procedure are those whose penis is too curved to permit sexual intercourse.
Oh,
it's too bendy.
So you actually have to kind of go round the corner.
Yeah,
you've
got to be round the corner and your girlfriend's around this corner and you go, you ready? Can't see you. Look, no hands.
I bend, Margot, up, say if I'm standing straight, I bend up towards me, as in that dimension.
I imagine if it was bending the other
way. Yes,
for G-spot
not, you don't
traction.
Want it to bend over.
Was it bending the other way or bending sideways?
Bending like
so it depends what position you're in too.
If that helps, yeah. I guess
I think
you could
in the Kama Sutra
bend.
They actually say that a curve or a bend is helpful in
upwards?
Some positions.
Upwards curve?
Yeah.
We had a urologist on the show a few years ago because I had a mate who broke his dick. Penile fracture, it's called technically. A urologist rang. We had a listener who was a urologist, and you'd think they'd have better things to do. But he rang and he said it's really frequent, and this is a health warning to everyone. Reverse cowboys or girls, which one do you call it? Reverse cowgirl?
Yeah, reverse cowgirl.
Cowgirl. That's the most frequent position
slippage.
For a penile fracture. Slippage and rebound.
Sometimes you can get a scratch by a rhinestone too, if you're not careful. Where you put your boots during the manoeuvre.
You get it from a horse. As in, riding too much, you can get a bit willy.
We got it.
What were we doing?
I was worried for
a second.
Well,
we were supposed to be talking...
penile straightening?
About text messages we got on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
None have anything to do with penises.
You brought that up apropos zero.
Well, I knew I never got a chance to finish.
Apropos. There was no mention of penises.
Darren from G-Bung, he said, hey, guys, with the NRL Grand Final on this weekend, what's your thoughts on having a third and fourth place playoff as the curtain raiser to the big game?
Brilliant.
My God.
More footy. More footy's
losers,
great.
Losers.
Yeah, but
you're
more
out.
Footy.
No.
Hey,
losers.
More
but no.
Losers.
Great idea, Darren. Yeah. We're behind you.
Who would be playing?
Well, it'd
South and
Cowboys. How good's that?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm. And then you get
and
third
then they
point.
Get a medal. The medal, and whoever loses that game gets nothing.
If you're not first, you're last.
And you're double loser.
Okay. So in the Olympics, right? Because you've got to fill out the podium in the Olympics.
No.
So third place.
Okay.
I'm not.
Craig from Nunda, he's written in on the burner phone. You guys were talking about running out of fuel this morning because Corey ran out of fuel up near Bundaberg. I once went 100 kilometres on empty in my 86 Land Cruiser. Not bad.
Wow.
Everyone remember that? Thanks, Craig.
Well, I now have learnt my lesson, haven't I? Don't buy European cars, buy a Land Cruiser.
Don't trust your husband.
Well, don't trust my husband.
It's an interesting one. How come the Japanese make the best off-road vehicle in the world? Like, how did they do that?
Toyota Land Cruiser?
Yeah, before that, maybe the Land Rover was the best when, you know, after the war, the history of great four-wheel drives.
Jeep, would you say a Jeep is a good off-road car, four-wheel drive car?
Did Jeep sponsor on this our show?
Don't think so. Go hard.
I've had two Jeeps, okay? They are the worst off-road vehicle in the history of the... I've had a Mahindra too.
Bits fall off them, though. And the old thing is, what's Jeep rhyme with?
Sheep.
Beep. Or cheap. Sheep.
Beats
fall
sheep.
Off them, don't they?
And sheep.
You'd rather get a
Kiwis
sheep.
Kiwis love rooting Jeep.
Mate, I've driven one of those Jeep Grand Cherokees, the 6 litre Hemis.
Good.
They go.
Okay. School pickup vehicle. Talking off road. Maybe it's fine on road. We've added Cherokee and a Wrangler. Never want to talk about
you
it.
You have Jimneys too. You love a Jimny.
Jimneys are unreal.
Love a Jimny for the beach.
You should have a four-wheel drive chat.
We should have a four-wheel drive chat because I am now righting my wrongs. 6 months ago I said to my husband, I don't want a Land Cruiser anymore.
No.
I want one of those fancy cars with a nice badge on the
front. Now what are you going to do?
Jesus Christ.
Corey's picking up a Land Cruiser today.
Yeah. You can't. They're a superior motor vehicle. It's incredible.
I just can't take it on the beach. I mean, I could.
Why?
Because it's a twin turbo V8. I reckon I could get out of any situation I needed to be in. Plus mode. Yeah. But Corey said, I'm not putting that on the beach.
No, you devalue it by
$15,000. Coming into summer, I'm like, I'm going to have FOMO. All my friends are going to be like, oh, we're going up to Bribey for the day, or we're going over to Moreton, and I'm not going to be able to go.
I'll lend you. I got a 15-year-old Triton parked under a tree over there. You can use that. Imagine hearing this shit Triton.
Does it have doors? No.
I learned to drive.
Oh, door dings.
Stick in one of them things.
Huh? The interesting question you raised before, the Japanese make the best off-road. Is there a lot of off-roading
going
on?
What was it after Hiroshima? They had trouble all the craters, and they thought, Jesus, we need it. The Corolla's not going to cut this. We need to get around Hiroshima to get to the shop.
Rebuild the factories first.
Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know.
You know what, Marto? Too soon.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Are we all upstanding? Can we please let me play this? We're on air, sir.
Anthony's in the building.
The one and only Anthony Albanese. He's in the building. He's in the room.
Anthony Albanese, we ran the risk of getting rid of listeners by telling people you were coming, so we gave them warning. Hopefully someone's still listening.
Oh, come on. the ratings will go up.
Mate, he just offered you a 20. He pulled his wallet out.
I just pulled out a lobster to buy you a decent pair of socks.
Like, well, I haven't got
Albo's
shoes.
Come in here looking
Not even shoes.
Listen, mate.
Smart as. I cleaned Marto's up the desk.
You got paint all over your leg, mate.
His shirt's not ironed. He's got paint on his legs.
You said the Prime Minister's coming in. I cleaned up all the desks. Look, it's perfect. Hello.
You got paint on your shirt. You got paint on your leg. And your socks are shockers, mate.
And you offered to give me some sort of government payout.
No, that was my money, my hard-earned cash.
His socks are matching today, Albo, so that was a benefit.
That's a plus.
That's a plus.
How are you, Albo? We've been calling you Albo. You don't mind.
No, that's all right.
I like that. It's very casual.
You called him Tony before.
No, I don't like that.
No, but that was on air before you were here. I wouldn't say Tony to you. No. What do you prefer, Albo or Anthony?
Whatever.
What do your close people call you?
They all call me Albo.
My friends
have always, since primary school, I've always been Albo.
Well, it can be Marto, Albo, Margo.
We need a third person.
It's a very Australian thing.
Yes. Hey, Saturday, not a very good day for you. So you went to the MCG early, or you obviously went to that breakfast early. Actually, can we address that first?
Yeah, this was great from you, Albo. You were absolutely on fire because you took a shot at Gil McLachlan, AFL CEO. They had the boat parade with the players, where no one could see them from the banks of the Yarra.
Up the Yarra.
They normally have them in cars, you can make eye contact, and this was at the AFL breakfast, and you just bang straight between the eyes for Gil.
To Gil, I would say, having watched the parade on the Yarra yesterday, to quote a former Prime Minister, we do need to stop the boats.
Bang! Good gear, Albo.
It was a shocker.
Good gear.
I mean, the Yarra isn't quite Sydney Harbour, it isn't even the Brisbane River.
It's nothing. It's a creek.
Is that your gear, Albo? Is that off the top of your dome?
That was. That was a sledge. Yeah.
Hold
that
on. Can we go through the other one?
Fully authorised.
At the Brownlow. on the Brownlow on the Monday night, Gil McLachlan, he's retiring. He had a shocker with Christian Petrarca's name, and you referenced it, and another zinger.
Congrats to Gil McLachlan. I'm glad that you didn't have to do the honours introducing me today. I understand from Christian Petrarca that you have a few problems with the Italian surnames.
He did have a shocker.
That's better than
And no one, the Brownlows, no one was listening.
No one was awake.
It was chaos.
So Anthony Albanese, you go to a lot of award ceremonies. Is the Brownlow the worst award ceremony going around in terms of attentiveness? Like, it's very hard.
It normally isn't too bad, but it was particularly bad. I think it was a Sunday night. I don't know. I've never been to the Brownlows. I've been to the Dally M's quite a few times.
They're on again on Wednesday night. Will you be there on Wednesday night?
No, I'll be in Canberra. We're sitting, Parliament's sitting this week. So
what would be more boring, Brownlow's or Parliament?
Come on. Parliament's always interesting.
Well, you just had a rest for 15 days. Surely there's plenty to catch up on.
Yeah. A rest, did I? Yeah, I'll show you my diary. I wish.
Would you have been at the Dally M's had the Rabbitohs have made the grand final, perhaps?
No, I still would have been in Canberra because Parliament's sitting on Wednesday, and I'm heading up to Tokyo in a couple of hours for the memorial service for Shinzo Abe. He was the former Prime Minister.
Okay, that's other stuff. Listen, tell me on Saturday, were you there for Robbie Williams? Were you in the MCG?
I was. He was fantastic.
I didn't even know who he was before he performed. But did you have your Swans scarf on?
I did.
Were you swanning? Yeah.
I did. I'm actually a Hawthorn supporter.
So what stage did you take the Swannies scarf off?
No, I kept it on, mate.
Did you put the Rabbitohs one on top of the Swan one?
I had the Rabbitohs one on Saturday night.
Did you fly? You got out of the MCG, to the airport, and you made it to Accor Stadium for the Rabbitohs game.
As you do.
And at what stage did you take the Rabbitohs scarf off?
Never.
You're 0-2 for the weekend, right? Who are you tipping this weekend? Because we need to know to get on the other team.
Mate, but I tipped Australia last night against PNG.
New Guinea.
There you go. Two games.
All right.
Women's and men's. So I'm 2-2.
You know how it was called the Prime Minister's 13?
Yeah.
And John Howard, remember when they used to have a Prime Minister's 11? He used to, say, oh, can you pick him? Did you get it? Did Mal ring you and say, hey, Albo, is there anyone you want?
I picked the team. We had
the whole team.
The selection group was me, Mal, Darren Lockyer, and Laurie Daly.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they gave me a short list, and 1 to 9, I picked exactly the same as what Mal wanted, which was pretty amazing, really, because we could only pick the players who weren't
eliminated.
In. So that was fortunate that South were still in the comp at that stage. Otherwise, it would have been 1-13 in Cardinal and Myrtle.
So what happens this week? Power against Penrith, the Battle of the West, how the West was won and all the rest of it. Who do you go for?
Well, I go for Parramatta because they haven't won for 36 years.
Sturlo out here.
And, my son's best man is a Parramatta supporter, so got to do that.
Sentimental.
Well, we thought,
not
considering
best man,
your
godfather.
Your Swans and your Rabbitohs scarves no longer have much value this year. We thought we might present you with a new scarf, if you don't mind. It's a Triple M one.
Every scarf he wears loses. Hold on, woo.
You should give him a B105
scarf. We go into survey tomorrow. We get the results, everyone out there rating us.
There we go.
He's got the Triple M scarf on.
Now,
in the honour of Triple M and the Aussie music we play, you're a DJ. You like to get your ears around a bit of music. What would be your favourite Aussie band?
There's a few. The Oils I'm seeing next Monday, the night after the grand finals, their last ever gig at the Horden Pavilion.
Oh, fair dinkum.
That will be...
Are you going to chug another beer for the crowd? Because that got a row. That was pretty empty, though, Albo. You know that.
I know it was.
Yeah. You need to top it up, I think.
We should have got him a full one in here.
That's right. Even at 9 a.m.
You've only been going a little bit more than 100 days as Prime Minister, and as you said, full diary. There's something for you to do all the time, okay? What's one thing, an unexpected highlight of being the Prime Minister?
This sounds, I'll put this the wrong way, because it wasn't good that it happened, but it was incredible honour to be at the Queen's funeral.
All right.
Just incredible.
We got a question from, Corey Parker, Margot's husband.
Yeah.
He reckons she wasn't in the coffin. Bang.
He said she wasn't in the box for 10 days.
He wasn't there, Albo. Remember?
He wasn't there. No, what would he know?
We were sitting watching it at a caravan park in Harvey Bay.
Yes.
He said, I 100% guarantee she was not in that box for the last 10 days. Everybody's just watching a wooden box go around and she's not actually in it.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I said she has to have been in there. David Beckham even lined up for 14 hours to see her. Like, surely.
The queues in London were Absolutely insane. Extraordinary. There was this moment where we went along early in the morning because we were waking up really early, and we're going along and the queue's there and people shout out, "G'day, Albo," and went over and they were from Melbourne. They'd just flown in, and then about a kilometre on, someone yells out, "Albo, Prime Minister." I said, "Oh, where are you from?" And they went, "Kent." And it was like, "Kent?" Yeah, yeah. There was this young bloke and he was a complete Australian political tragic.
Oh, really?
Did you feel sorry for him, Albo, waiting in a queue like that and being an Australian political tragic? It's a double up.
Double banger.
No, well.
Oh, bugger.
Well, that's a plus.
Hey, one more for you, Albo. Dylan Allcott. You know, Dylan
Allcott, great guy.
Great guy.
He was there?
Funeral. I actually caught up with him over the weekend. Now, confirm or deny.
Oh, yes.
He was a few metres away from Joe Biden. He said, as were all of you, I guess, relatively small room. You're all pretty close. He said the Secret Service agents had, like, fake hands almost that were like, it was a decoy.
In their pockets.
Yeah, fake hands in their pockets, Albo, and their real hand was inside their jacket on their piece, on their gun, ready at any time to be like quick draw.
What do you know about this?
Sounds like Dylan's just spinning you, mate.
I think he is. He has a habit of
being.
He's like that. We played pool on the way over at Dubai at one of the stops on the way. So we played for his Wimbledon trophy because he's got three.
and
so I've won one of them. One of them's coming, but then played him again. He won. So he's getting
getting
dinner at Kirribilli. He's not bad, mate.
He's pretty good.
He's sharp.
Because maybe line of sight, he might be.
Don't underestimate Dylan Allcott.
Very good basketballer too.
Albo.
Great athlete.
Albo,
on a Monday,
pleasure.
Thanks for coming in.
We've all been upstanding for the entire interview.
Favourite Robbie Williams song?
Favourite Robbie. Oh, let me entertain you on that. That was awesome, the beginning.
Big tribute to Farnsey and Warnie.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Delta was great when she came out too, to do the Kylie thing.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I love Delta.
You ever worn a pink singlet?
No, mate.
A pink suit?
Me neither.
Good in a pink suit.
No one wants to see me in pink.
Do you not want to announce your exclusive partnership with Camilla live on the show?
No one wants to see me in pink.
Sorry, Rabbitohs.
All right, Albo.
Thank you, Albo.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate your time.
Next year. Year of the Rabbit.
We're Broncos fans. We understand. Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast. Margot, it was nice for a whole week. I didn't watch the news. I know nothing. Didn't buy any papers. And then I thought, I better switch on last night. All right, so it's 6:01, okay? The news starts, 6 o'clock, whatever. Mm-hmm. Straight away, you know I'm a big fan of...
For Jack Harris...
No, there we go.
First day back after a week.
It's been a week off.
Yeah, there wasn't enough news because the first story... Well, obviously there's no news now. The Queen, apparently they've buried her in our absence. But
she did.
Yes, the world is a safe place again. Not enough news for an hour long. Normally the problem is they get to 20 past six and they go, let's jam a stupid story in there just to fill the taco of news up with some letters. But last night at 6:01, I swear to God, this is the first story on the news. It was a story about legalising cannabis. I went, what is going on? Has nothing happened in the world? But they made a good point. This young bloke...
For Jack Harris Young, life has been turned upside down, caught with cannabis in his system after smoking it the night before.
Tested me about more than 12 hours later and ended up having to get court summons.
Yeah. I reckon Jack would get caught most days if you tested him.
He sounds pretty chill.
Okay. What else has Jack got to say?
I go to work every day. Yeah, I've got a family and stuff, you know, and... just having to live my life like a criminal for something pretty like innocent, in my opinion, I think is just no good.
Okay, it's no good.
Something pretty innocent. It's illegal, mate. Come on.
He's got to at this stage. And
Margo,
that's what
listening story
is
to
about.
The government for once. That's amazing.
Yes.
Hang on.
Isn't
suddenly
that
the government are right, are they? The tinfoil hat's off all of a sudden.
Okay, so there's some laws you love and some laws you don't. But anyway.
I turned my tinfoil hat into a cone.
Poor old Jack.
Get a Gatorade bottle.
Yep. Poor old Jack, he's got two kids. Of course he's going to go down the shed and have a smoke occasionally because that's whatever. 40% of Australia has... here's the Greens guy. I don't like the Greens because of all this nonsense with the power. Can they actually, again, tell the truth? How much... I don't want to talk about power.
Now, calm down.
But
it's
the
okay.
Greens, and cannabis. This must be why they're called the Green, because they were talking cannabis and they were making sense.
More than 40% of Australians have smoked cannabis at some point. And having the law continue to make that 40% of Australians criminals is just plain ridiculous. We want to legislate to legalise cannabis by the end of next year.
Has he been smoking helium?
Don't be mad.
We've got medicinal marijuana is legalised. You can get that via GP script over the counter. You don't even need a script anymore.
And he makes that point.
Does he?
And the thing is, God, there must be a lot of Australians with bad backs.
Germany, Uruguay, South Africa, Jamaica, Mexico and Malta have all made personal cannabis use legal, while in Australia, 260,000 scripts have been filled for medicinal cannabis in just 6 years.
But it doesn't have the THC in it, is that correct? Which is the bit that makes you...
psychoactive stuff.
Yes. I don't know much about it, but were you blown away when you're listening to the countries that Jamaica had legalised cannabis? That just... But does anyone know how much tax they make? Let's take California alone. Someone told me $8 billion a year they get taxed. It's 15% on every sale of every piece of cannabis. They get a 15% tax to government. $8 billion. That's what it's worth.
We could use that in our economy.
Would you rather give all that money to the bikies for distributing the cannabis, or would you rather the government took it? The government used it as tax.
I would rather the government use it as tax.
That's right.
And then we could have, you know, like be like Mike Tyson and own cannabis companies.
Cannabis farm.
That'd be sensational.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's how he's got a
list. He's always high. We've got all that land in the middle of Australia there doing nothing.
Oh, exactly.
Put a crop out there. Are you going to be campaigning? Are you running for the Greens at the next election, Martin? Is that what you're saying, mate?
I'm very keen. I think it looks interesting concept.
All right. Jeez, you're not happy if you're with Optus.
Ooh, Trevor, how are you, mate? EFTM.com. You'll find out everything a bloke needs to know. What's going on?
I'm not even with Optus, and I got the email on the weekend.
What was the email? I haven't seen anything about this. I'm not an Optus customer.
Optus has started, basically on Friday they started. They've got 11 plus million people to get through, so it's going to take a while to send all these emails. But they've started sending emails to customers now and previous customers because this hack affects customers from 2017 till now. So if you were with them, I was with them for a month in a couple of years ago when I was testing the 5G on the new iPhone.
Yeah.
And now that my data, including my driver's license number and my date of birth,
have been
hacked. So they're slowly contacting people. There's really nothing much they can do other than tell you, sorry, you've been involved, and give you some basic warnings.
But can you get ahead of it, Trev?
In Australia.
All right, what's the email talking about? What should people be, if you're ever with Optus, if you're one of those 11 million, what should you be watching out for?
Really, the problem here is I would normally say, change your password, change your credit card details, whatever. But that's not, they haven't got your password or your credit card details. They've got your identity. So you can't change your driver's license number easily. You can't change your passport number easily. But what you need to do is be vigilant. So there's two things that'll happen here. One is they'll steal your identity and apply for credit on your behalf. So keep your eye on bank accounts, keep your eye on credit score. And then the other one, which is probably more likely a bigger risk, is scams. You're going to get emails and text messages that don't look like scams. They're going to look familiar because they're going to say, hey, Trevor, we know your birthday's in December. They're going to say things about you that will make you think, oh, they do know me. This is a company I've dealt with. Well, this is a person I've dealt with. And so you're going to fall for it. That's the biggest risk right now.
Are Optus liable to pay back? Let's say they do me for, $100,000. Have I got a case to go to Optus and say, hold on, that's your fault. I want that money.
The biggest challenge in a legal sense, I think, and I'm not a lawyer, but would be proving that it came from the Optus hack. So, you know, a lot of people's details have been hacked and leaked before. So you'd need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it's only because Optus was hacked that this happened to you. And I think that's the challenge. And that's why Optus's liability won't be that high. But I think the government will probably fine Optus here. And I think Optus's best move is to fund, and I mean with millions of dollars, the people behind ID Care, which is the people that help people have had identity fraud occur on them. So that's going to be a huge, you know, thing that's going to be needed is help around this.
9.8 million customers under the Optus umbrella. How many of those affected?
But unders.
It's about 11, I think.
On the weekend, the alleged hacker put out a claim of ransom, $1.5 million Aussie dollars.
Hold on. How much?
They said $1 million.
They wanted in crypto, Trev, and they did put a dump online, right, of 100 names and data points,
just
and someone's gone and verified it, and it looks legit, doesn't it, Trev?
That was me. I rang
son of a bitch
10 or 15 people on the weekend and said hi, and freaked a few people out because I knew their birth date and their driver's license. But what I did was confirm that some of these people had not been involved in previous hacks, so their information was not already online.
Okay.
And then by ringing them and confirming they were an Optus customer and that the information was correct, we essentially verified that this person does have real Optus data.
Trev, why does this person only want $1 million? Because then I see he's already going to the dark web looking to sell on the dark web all the information.
So what he has said, he or she has said, is that Optus has a week to pay the million. If they don't, they're going to start either selling it in bulk or individually. So $1 million in bulk or $300 per verified user. So that's what your information's worth,
$300. $300.
That it?
And even if it's only 100 people that someone buys, that's 100 really good bits of information.
But $1 million US is about, what, 2.5 million Australian? Where is this person from? Do we know who the hacker is?
No, all we know is Optus said that it looked like the traffic came from Europe. So,
okay.
Trev, just quickly, they give him $1 million or the Bitcoin or whatever crypto they want. They could just sell the information anyway. What are you going to trust
the
hacker?
That's why
of course
won't
they will.
Pay.
You shouldn't pay.
Optus won't pay. The AFP is investigating, as they should be, and Optus is working closely with authorities. I don't think they'll pay, but I think that the more conversations they have with the hacker, the more likely it is they find out who it is.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm with Optus and I get a bloody scam text message probably 5 times a day anyway. I don't think my life's going to change. I just get scammed so much now. I'm just used to it.
Just be vigilant. Yeah, don't click links in emails.
Okay.
Thanks, mate. Good on you, Trev.
Pleasure.
EFTM, everythingforthemand.com. Trev knows what he's talking about. Head there if you want to know more.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Let's talk to a bloke who actually tipped this grand final clash, I believe. Corey Parker, did you call an Eels Penrith grand final some months ago, mate?
Oh, morning, guys. Yeah, some months ago, back in January, I think it was.
You're kidding. Did you really? Did everyone say who's going to be there at the business end of the year and you said Penrith Para?
Yeah, well, working for Fox, mate, I'd always get a tip from the experts at the start. So much so, the sports bet account went up $70, $10 on them. So it was good.
Yes, sir. Nice.
Margo's already spent that,
Still couldn't afford a tank of fuel, though. Okay.
Hey, I see you. Should we address that first up? Have you been listening this morning, Corey?
Yeah, I have been, mate. Yeah, just from pillar to post, I feel the kicks in the guts on the way through.
You're doing a wonderful job, except towing the caravan. So just if anyone missed it, they were driving towards Bundaberg, turn right there at Childers off the Bruce Highway, and you elected to push on with a light on.
Yeah, I find it as a bit of a challenge, but also it's good stories for the kids, you know. Everyone gets to stop, go to the toilet, have a cold drink.
Resilience, Corey. Making them resilient.
Don't worry, I'm done for today, Cos. We won't talk about you and the Queen and your thoughts around her over the holidays sitting around after a few drinks.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
was she really in the box for that whole time? We'll never know.
I thought you were referring to yourself when you said the Queen, Margo, for a second.
She could be anywhere. She could be in the Bahamas right now.
She could be.
Let's not talk. We want to talk 40, Cos. Hey, listen, Latrell Mitchell, I see, did you get in? Well, you actually claimed that he wasn't fit. I'm with you, mate. When the big moments happen, he's a great front runner, Latrell Mitchell, but as soon as the going gets tough, he doesn't put his hand up.
Oh, look, I mean, Latrell Mitchell's a wonderful player. There's no two ways about that. He can do things in a game that other players can't do. But the other night when the... You know, Penrith pulled him apart so much so they'd get him on the move and then they put a little kick in behind and he just wasn't there. Now, the best players in any sport, doesn't matter if you're rugby league, rugby union, basketball, doesn't matter, are the fittest. And you look at Dylan Edwards and what he was able to do. I'm not talking about with the ball. I'm talking about off the ball and what you're able to stop and people you're able to put in position. And when the big games have happened, Latrell, as you said, he's a super player, but yeah, there was times the other night where he just quite simply didn't turn up. There was 3 tries they scored off kicks, and at the end of the day, I mean, there was 3 opportunities. They were pressing Penrith's line. They were down by 6. He didn't touch the ball. Like, the best players, you need to go after the game and you want them to have the ball, and because ultimately, they play in a grand final if they can. So,
he got shown up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's about the Eels and it's about the Panthers. And if this season is any guide, the Panthers are unbeatable and unstoppable. Do they take this out, Cos?
Well, they're not unbeatable or unstoppable because they were beaten twice this year. Guess by who? By the Parramatta. So they've played them three times this year.
This would be the
Parramatta,
fourth, yeah.
Yeah, two to Parramatta, one to Penrith.
The Cleary against the Arthurs. Is that what you're calling? The Clearys against the Arthurs?
Well, it's quite a little bit different in terms of matchups and the players between Cleary and Jacob Arthur. Mm. But look, they've got the game plan to be able to beat Penrith. Now, the Battle of the West, for us up north, we don't understand it, we don't get it, but it is a completely different beast down here.
Oh, God.
I've been here the last couple of days in Sydney, and it's just been brewing. Western Sydney will be alive. But, I mean, the two best teams, one best team, have gone into the grand final, and, yeah, you've got a team there in... They talk about windows open. Well, Parramatta haven't won a competition, as you touched on, Marto, and since
Sterlo.
It was a Peter Sterling
had Sterlo
hair
out here
and
in 86.
All sorts of things going on. So,
but hey, Cosser, in terms of motivation, when Brad Arthur turns around to his team and said, what are you going to give up today? What are you going to sacrifice? He looks at Mitch Moses. This bloke is going to get in trouble from his wife for the rest of his life to get into this grand final.
I thought about that. I've thought about that long and hard. Mm. Mate, he will never win another argument.
Ever.
It's hard to win anyway, but he won't win another.
Corey, he just needs to wear the NRL Grand Final ring at all times. So she brings it up, he just holds
just
it up.
Just holds the hand up.
The kisses.
While he's pointing to the roof. See that roof I keep above your head?
Yeah. That's what Corey used to do. I mean, it's a selfish sport sometimes, professional sport, as you know. I mean, there was an opportunity for him to watch his firstborn child, which is quite incredible, as we all know. And then, he goes up to Townsville and... He comes up with a performance that their team's in the grand final. So is it all justified? Probably is. If they go on and win, well, it certainly is. But, that's just sort of where it's at the moment.
Because you said your sports bet account's up $70. Who are you putting the $70 for in the final dance? Put your money where your mouth is, mate.
Well, I doubled down. I went each way just to sort of cover the bet there. But, look, I really like for the punters out there, Dylan Edwards for the clock, Clive Churchill. Right. I think he is.
What's he paying?
He's probably come in close now, but
$4.
he should have got it last year. To be fair, they gave it Nathan Cleary. He's in superb form. He got their Player of the Year, so he might be worth a look. But I find it really hard to go past Penrith. I think, but anything could happen. I mean, Cleary could get knocked out in the first couple of minutes, and all things change. So you just don't know.
All right, Corey Parker, that's Margot's money. So gamble responsibly, all right?
Cheers.
Fill her up.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Can I just, that old one, flat pack furniture, it takes so long to put together. Yeah, we've all heard the story. We've run competitions here putting together a cupboard or something or
just
other.
Just the first time, because like Memphis and I, we put together a little table from Kmart for her bedroom.
Yeah.
There was two of them. We put together the first one, took like an hour, and the second one took like 10 minutes.
Tell me honestly, how long did the first one really take?
About an hour and a hours.
Really?
Maybe two
tell
hours.
The truth. Thank you.
Maybe 2 hours.
133353, how long did it take? All right. Because my mate and I, Shorey, I might as well tell him he's my mate. We've been partners in building company for bloody ever. Anyway, and we've been mates since we were 15, 16. We did carpentry together, builders together.
Easy as it should be.
We've put Caboodle kitchens together. Now,
and I know you have.
We've put Caboodle kitchens. What's the other mob?
Bunnings.
The Bunnings ones. The Bunnings is Caboodle. What's the IKEA one?
IKEA.
What do they call themselves? They got another name too.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway,
IKEA.
We put two of them together. We put two of each together.
Easy, hard.
Can I give a personal recommendation? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. IKEA are a better kitchen. Oh, there you go. Sorry, Bunnings. So we'd done that and we did it easily. On the other day, we were coming back from Morton. We went over there and did some work, a bit of roof work, a bit of... This and that.
Your joint.
We had one thing to do because the barbecue was rusting because it's salt air. We threw that away the day before and we went, Jesus, before we get on the barge, I've got to put that other barbecue together. All right? So we had we didn't have much time. Got up at 5:30 in the morning.
How does a barbecue come packaged?
The Jumbucks, if you walk into Bunnings, they're selling them for $2.99. I went, you're kidding. If that barbecue only lasts 2 years, $299, that's brilliant.
It's a good buy.
Okay, rather than buying, there's people buying $3,000, $4,000 barbecues.
Ridiculous.
I don't know why.
What kind of setup do you mean when you say barbecue? Like it's stationary?
It's in a box it's really heavy.
And like a Weber is it like a big,
four burner tray, but that's... All right.
Looking at
not
all
hard, right. Marto.
What I wanted to
not many pieces here, mate.
There was a lot of pieces. Incredible number
of
pieces.
One of those.
All right. One of those, a jumbuck.
The black one with four legs.
$2.99.
Okay.
Looks easy.
What are you putting the knobs
we're
on
both,
the burners?
We're
how
both registered build, we're both registered builders and carpenters forever, okay? And 2.5 hours later, Kathy came up and said, what is going on? And I said, listen, you know us. We're common sense people.
Was there drinking involved?
100%.
Were you stopping down for rums and chats?
6 o'clock in the morning.
Were you watching the footy? No, in the morning.
No excuses. We had a cup of tea and we were building this thing. 133353, how long did it take you to build it? Like the longest? Dob your partner in. Kath said, what are you two Muppets? And I'm going, listen, because the problem, if you go too far, we had to go back 10 steps at once.
You didn't read the instructions.
Longest we did. Build. The instructions were in Chinglish.
133353.
Where are we? Now, hopefully no one rang and hopefully there's probably people going to go, it took them 8 hours. Let's and I'm sorry about that.
Brett from Zilmia, good morning.
How you doing, Margo?
Yeah. Hey, Brett, you ever done any flat pack work?
Oh, mate, my ex-wife loved that IKEA. We furnished our old apartment in Europe.
Oh, yeah, and it's
full
good.
IKEA. Yeah, love that stuff.
Yeah.
You should have had it down pat, though, Brett.
That jumbuck Barbie, that stuff's so pissed. It's easy peasy, mate.
Is that just?
The impact drivers, using them on it? Come on, that's rookie.
What are you using?
I just use my hand a normal screwdriver.
Yeah, well, that's what
we're...
All right.
You're not over-tightening everything. And,
But
I think the problem was, Marto, that you were in a rush. You were rushing. You didn't read the instructions maybe properly. Yes, I know sometimes they're hard to understand.
They're just pictures of a bloke pointing at something going, do this. Like there's screws travelling through the air and hitting things in the wrong place.
But if you don't follow the instructions properly, anyway.
How long did it take you, Brett?
Half an hour. Did you have Meccano as a kid?
Yes, I did. That's how I reckon I became a builder because I was so fascinated with that sort of stuff.
Well, then if you should have been able to understand. If you could understand those Meccano kit bloody instructions.
Nobody said he understood the Meccano. He just asked if he had one.
He had it. Yeah. Do you use an impact driver on your Meccano as well?
No, we weren't invented.
Listen, reckon Brett's that guy that knows everything.
Yeah, give him a prize.
All right, Brett. Yeah, thanks for sorting him out. Abbott,
thanks for the humiliation, Brett. That's great.
Yeah. Don't bring your impact driver to Oktoberfest. You want to go to Oktoberfest, Brett?
Of course he does.
Oh, mate, I used to live in Germany.
Oh, of course you did. Of course you did, Brett.
Brett's a bloody Terry Topper here. Yeah. Wunderbar, Oktoberfest is back, reuniting lovers of German culture at Australia's biggest authentic Oktoberfest celebrations. Brisbane Showgrounds, October 7th
Brett,
to
16th. It takes me about 12 minutes during a stein. How long does it take you, Brett?
Oh, 3 minutes.
mate, I drink with moderation.
Well, it's a one-y loss.
Finally, finally beat him.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
We're driving up north, went through Childers on our way to Bundaberg and you turn right there on Goodwood Road at Childers and there's a little servo.
Good pub there at Childers.
Right on the left, the pub, then there's the servo right next door.
Does the servo have crab sandwiches? Did you stop?
I don't know. We didn't stop there.
That's where Kath's family would stop and she told me 7 kids in the car and they'd all hop out and get crab sandwiches there at the Childers servo.
I wish we had stopped there because the Childers servo was the last servo for 52 kilometres. Kilometres before you hit Alloway. Now, when the fuel...
Where were you heading? To the coast from Childers.
To Bundaberg. Alloway, which is the next town, is about 52 kilometres from Childers, right?
What's happened
and,
here?
Well, the fuel light was on in my car, Marto, and
who's
we had
driving?
The caravan
you
on the back.
Who's driving? Who's responsible?
I didn't notice because I wasn't driving.
You're the co-pilot.
Corey, my husband, was driving and we had 5 kids in the back and the caravan on. And he clearly had already driven 3 hours. He just wanted to keep going. I just want to get there. Quarter of a tank, surely that'll do it.
Can I just check? When you're a passenger, and it is your car and your husband was driving it, do you look across and check what speed he's doing?
Always.
And do you tell him to up it or to lower it?
Yes, because he was towing the caravan. He was doing like 95. I'm like, mate, we're going to get there in 8 hours. Come on.
Okay.
Holidays will be over, right. Corey.
Anyway, lo and behold, doesn't turn left to go to the servo. He's like, there'll be another one along the way. There's about 5 we could have stopped at before we got to Goodwood Road and turned right at Childers. Okay. And then no servo for 52 kilometres.
The Childers servo's missing a trick there to not have a giant sign. First of all, saying crab sandwiches, mate. Last servo.
There probably is one. Get a crab sandwich.
Last servo.
I mean, clearly he didn't see that the fuel light was on, did he, Dan? And so there I am in the passenger seat searching through the manual because that's really easy to read. It's like the Bible. There's these different scriptures and I'm like, oh, God, who's this? And I just want to know how much fuel is left once the fuel light comes on.
Well, this
how many kilometres have I got?
So what's the answer?
Well, not enough.
Not
is 52. The answer.
Less than
not
52.
Less than 52, because Corey was then concerned that he was going to run it dry, and he didn't want to run it dry because then you stuff it.
You pick up all the dirt from
there we are,
the
pulled over on the side of the road, no reception. We're trying to get in touch with the other people who we were travelling with because they were just ahead of us to see how far ahead they were. They could turn around because we had a heap of motorbikes and quads with us. So what do we have? Jerry cans of petrol.
Oh, in the
Except
other.
Except not in our car, in the other car.
Okay. Hey, now, what is the answer? Is it 31 kilometres? Is that the standard?
It's not 52, I'll tell you. That's
the caravan is going to slow you down a lot, obviously. You're going to burn a lot more fuel. He's probably used to maybe driving it without the caravan on, I guess, and thinking I can easily make it when the lights
are. Well, of course, it was my fault because I've got a stupid twin turbo V8 petrol engine vehicle that uses too much fuel, doesn't it?
Is it not there when you bought it?
Towing a caravan driving 800 kilometres. I'm like, hello, should have got a Land Cruiser.
Did you get out of this pickle? Did you get
Well, we eventually found some reception. I'm walking around.
Was it
like
a nice
idiot.
Area?
Like on the side of the road.
Up Ship's Creek.
Up
Ship's Creek.
I had the phone up in the air trying to get reception. Finally got in touch and said, can you... We got no petrol.
All right, let's do this here. 133353. Do you want to do most inconvenient location? Because I've had a mate run out on the Story Bridge before and he made the traffic
worst.
Report.
Oh, that's worse.
He heard himself. He's sitting in his car and he heard on the radio breakdown on the Story Bridge. He's like, hit present.
What about tunnels? That'd be a bad place to run.
Annoying.
Is that what we're looking for?
133353. Where'd you run out of petrol? Worst location or most inconvenient location? Or did you have your wife told you I told you so moment, perhaps, maybe, like I did.
How long were you standing there in Ship's Creek for? About half an hour.
An hour. How long will you remember that for? Decades.
Forever.
Yep.
Can you take this on the burner phone? And we did ask people at 133353 to ring us. But listen to Steve from Charlotte Park. This is a tale. I was 19. I drove my old Tirana over to my girlfriend's place to break up with her. Just for all you young kiddies, that's how we used to do it. You used to have to say face to face going, it's not about you.
Can't text.
It's about me.
Oh, it's not you.
I'm
it's
really
me.
Sorry.
Classic. Yeah.
And you'd have a bit of a tear, then bugger off.
It's like, it's me and my new girlfriend.
So Steve's over there. The petrol gauge on the car was broken. We went for a drive around the block because that's how you did it. I broke it off and returned her home.
Aww.
She would have been in tears.
Do you drive around the block so you don't have to look her in the eyes?
That's
true. Listen.
Right, so he's let her off, but this is better. When I drove off, I made it to the end of the street before I ran out of fuel. I had to go back to her house and ask her dad, his future father-in-law, if I could use the home phone to ring my dad to bring a jerry can full of fuel.
You go to a random house. You don't go back to the girlfriend. You knock on a random door.
Ex-future father-in-law.
Walk away, Steve.
Yeah, that's karma, if I remember.
Margot, talk to Sebastian quickly. Here's in Griffin. He's got a story for you.
Sebastian, what happened?
Yeah. How you going? So my brother decided to go for a ride on his V-Star motorbike through Legacy Way, and that doesn't have a fuel gauge on it. And he broke down a Legacy Way and pushed it for a good 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Doesn't one of those trucks come and pick you up because they got cameras everywhere?
Oh, apparently people were honking at him, throwing the finger at him. Oh, what are you doing, you moron?
Pushing.
No.
But did he have to start pushing it? Because
up the hill.
Yeah, there's a low point, of course, in the Legacy Way tunnel, and then you got to push her up the hill.
Get a run up.
Sure is. And there's no service either. So he tried calling me. That didn't work. So he ended up using one of those phones in the tunnels.
The tunnel phone.
ended up closing the lane down, but... Yeah, it was pretty dangerous, actually.
I always wondered who uses those phones in the tunnels.
Sebastian's brother.
Steve from Shaler Park would have wished that he had that. Runners for the floor means you're not alone.
0484101045, save it in your phone. Yeah, 0484101045, you heard the man. Get in touch with us. Save it in your phone. Trent from Springfield did, and he got in touch. He said, hey, guys, I'm a newbie to Southeast Queensland. G'day, Trent.
Welcome aboard, Trent.
Hello, should we give him a feels like a first time?
Yeah, give him one of those.
You've got it there.
So where is he at Springfield? Good on you, mate. I hope your roof's all right.
He's got this week off before he starts his new job and he's keen to take his boys camping.
Good on him.
Any good local spots you could help me out with? Boys are 6 and 8 and love to ride their bikes and fish.
What about that caravan park you go down to at the Broadwater?
Broadwater's pretty good, yeah. Broadwater Tourist Caravan Park at Southport. There's a boat ramp inside. Fishing is great there. They can ride their bikes. Southport. Australia Fair, Runaway Bay is on your doorstep. But the other good place, you can't take your bikes, but great fishing, Currajee. Marto, just over at South Struddy there. You can get a little ferry across, or if you've got a little tinny, head across. Great camp. It's cheap as.
Just wander. go to Stratty for a few days. I don't know how many days he wants to go for.
Yeah.
Just go there for an overnight. Oh, there's little campsites everywhere.
In the backyard. It's always good sometimes. Don't have to go far.
Yeah. Anyway, I listen, sort it. Hey, Brian, listen to this one. Hey, guys, great to hear you back. Oh, good on you, Brian. Celebrated my 50th over the weekend and tried Worcestershire sauce for the first time. My life will never be the same
again. Is that how you say it?
Worcestershire. Like Leicestershire and Northamptonshire. No, what other names are there? Leicester.
How often do you say Leicestershire?
Well, whenever you're talking cricket. So he tried Worcestershire sauce.
For the first time ever.
We just call it Worcestershire.
You know my pop? He had a bottle of Worcestershire, whatever you want to call it, on the table every night for dinner.
You know
he
what the secret ingredient is?
Everything.
You know what the secret ingredient is? What makes it?
I don't like it.
I'm sure there's anchovy in it.
Ooh, that's
probably
why I don't like it.
Oh,
bloody tremendous. I don't like it.
I could have this would disgust you, Marco. I could have just an anchovy pizza.
Yuck. Does he mean my life will never be the same as in it was disgusting?
No, that would be so good.
Or was it so good?
What's that drink where you have an oyster and a bit of Worcestershire in there?
I don't know, but I want one.
Oyster shot?
Probably.
Kilpatrick? Oysters Kilpatrick?
Oh, you might have tequila in there too, dear.
Sign me up, mate. Let's
go. Remember I made you Oysters Kilpatrick once, Marta?
Oh, that's
for his birthday. We were at Moreton last year. I drove all the way down to the bottom.
Coringal.
And bought oysters. Drove all the way back up the top to Bulwa.
You were going there anyway.
And made Worcestershire sauce, Kilpatrick oysters, and cooked them for Marta for his birthday.
A lot of driving with oysters here. How was the gastro, Marta?
Marta and Margo. Triple M Breakfast. You're listening to Triple M, which is a surprise because we normally wouldn't talk about the failings in our state's health system. We're like, we don't care. Leave that to other people to complain about, correct?
Yes, correct.
But we're in the middle of a full-blown crisis. We need to deal with it here and now. Can we just whip out this, please?
Oh, dear.
I don't want to talk about ramping.
What?
Yeah, those ambulance ramping when people have been left 3 hours having a heart attack. I don't care less about that.
Yeah, how's people dying in their driveway sexy enough that we need this opener?
4 hours, bloke was in his driveway. I'm not talking about that. Okay. I'm talking about there's a number of multiple complaints and we need to deal with it here and now before it gets any later because there's a complaint about a doctor who left a patient with a mutilated penis.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Get your hand off my penis!
And he also, the same doctor, blew his nose on a curtain during an operation. Now, as soon as I saw this story, I went, hello.
Nurse, tissue.
That goes together like egg and lettuce on a sandwich, those two, blowing your nose and a mutilated penis.
What do they want him to do?
Are they sure it was his nose that he blew on the curtain?
No. A snot rocket into the body?
All right.
The curtain's way better.
I'm not going to mention this surgeon because surgeons are the Lord. They are
name and shame. Are you allowed to?
All right.
Well, it will save all of our other men who want to go and get penis
Dr.
surgery.
Darryl. Okay.
Don't go to Dr. Darryl.
For your dick, okay? If you've got a dick problem, don't do Dr. Darryl. But anyway, there was a recent allegation that during a sterile surgical procedure, he sneezed, and that happens. It's a human thing.
Slipped.
And blew his nose on a curtain because you go, oh, Jesus, got to wipe it on something.
He didn't have the scalpel in his hand at the time. Is that why it's mutilated? What's happened?
Right.
Oh, chew. Oh, sorry about that.
All right, so...
made an incision where I wasn't supposed
to the world of one testicle.
So hang on a second. Let's step it back a bit.
All right, that's the first
Why
complaint.
Did he have surgery on his penis? What happened to it?
So we've dealt with the curtain and that happens. You need to blow clear your nose and you're in surgery. You don't have a tissue on you, do you? You should have
a tissue.
All right, let's get to the...
Isn't it supposed to be a sterile environment?
Let's get to the Nesbitt procedure. That's the name of the operation.
Nesbitt
procedure. It was a couple of years ago. It's been a nightmare. This is the person who it happened to.
Poor guy.
Won't use his name. It's left me with sexual dysfunction and my penis had to be shortened.
Shortened? Nobody wants that. You don't go into surgery and say, hey, sir, can I have a smaller penis?
Give me 10 inches. What about that Jeremy, the hedgehog, the porn star? Did he needed a shortening,
can
didn't
you
he?
Donate inches? You know,
I think
if
there's
I want
a penis
off,
bank.
Can you buy an inch off me for 100 grand?
Well, generous.
Hold on. I don't think you've seen the price of inches of... Anyway. here he goes. The procedure was supposed to fix a bend in my penis that is caused by calcification.
Why would he want to get rid of that? Sometimes that's a good thing.
You can hit the spot.
I'll leave that with you. I ended up with the foreskin attached to the end of the penis.
So
I put the glue in the wrong place. I think I had a second surgery to try to fix the problem. And that's what's going on in Queensland Health.
Oh, my God.
There's people getting their penises
shortened. It's a real crisis. Forget COVID.
All right. Can I
just give a piece of advice to everyone listening? If you walk into an operating theatre and it has curtains, leave. That should be the biggest red
flag.
What
have they got to hide?
Is this a Bali massage parlor? What's going on here? Happening?
They're hiding snot. Yeah,
if there are curtains and you walk through beads to get into the surgery, get out of there.
And if anyone offers you an inch of penis today, how much are we saying the market
is? It's got to be minimum 100 grand, for an inch of penis. Yeah. We don't have any to spare
on
this show.
Hello, we're back at work, everyone.
None of you have any to spare.
Mardo and Margo.
I got a bed.